chunk of a boy, let me tell you. Yeah, right. Really? I know. Seriously, right? But he is doing great, and my iPad is not. But I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate all of that. It was a very emotional time for us, dealing with the emotions of everything. But also, we weren't there, right? We were waiting for the phone call and getting to experience all this from the edge until she was rushed to the hospital. And of course, mom rushed to the hospital to be at the hospital with her daughter and has been up there ever since. which is good. But healthy baby, we're all excited. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all of that. It's great. I am now Papa times two, and I'm excited to have that title and just go forward with that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to continue on a series of sermons that we've been doing called Better Choices, Better You. And today I want to talk to you about something that I think is the biggest issue that Christians have today in our walk with Christ. That's a big statement, I know, and I could say so many different things, and there's so many, but I do believe, I honestly believe that this issue is one of the largest issues that we have in our faith today. As a Christian, when we give our life to Christ, if you haven't done that, that's okay. Please don't check out. It's okay if you haven't done that. It's all right. We want to encourage you to do that. But if you're here today and you have given your life to Christ, then hear me out for a moment. When we give our life to Christ, what we are doing is we're coming to a place where we look at Jesus and we say, God, I need your help. I can't do this. I am sinful. I am all of these things. The sin that I have, the debt that I owe is too great for me. And so therefore, I need you in my life. And so what we look at and what we look for is we look for his, we become repentive. That's what the word repentance means. It means turning away from your sin to go in and be with Christ. And we're asking, we're sorry, we're asking forgiveness for our sins, we're asking for all of those things. And those are really important things. But generally what happens when you give your life to Christ? You go through this period of time of this elation. You're so excited about sharing Christ. You're so excited about Christ and being inside of you. You're, listen, I'm going to make really good choices. I'm going to do the best I can do. I'm going to make Jesus proud of me today because I'm going to wake up this morning and make all the right choices. And then guess what happens? After a period of time, maybe you do for the first week, first few days, first week, whatever. You make those good choices, you make those positive choices, but then at some point, your old life and your old ways go, and you slip up and you fall. And then what happens after that? What happens after that describes and is one of the most important things that we can look at in terms of our faith. See, the word that I want to use today, the thing that I want to talk about today is called consistency. See, consistency means doing the same thing, good or bad, by the way, over and over and over and over again. I often laugh, and I probably use this as an example way too much, but this is a battle that your pastor has, and it's, you know, when I think about it, when I make up in my mind that I'm gonna go to the gym every single day, and I'm gonna be good, and I'm going to do the steps that I need to do to lose weight, I'm gonna do all of those things. The only problem is my consistency is not in going to gym. My consistency is in eating M&Ms. So that's a problem, right? So I've made that choice. I've made that consistency, doing the same thing repeatedly. You know, the average person knows if their choices are good or bad. You know. Listen, I don't have to say. Pastors sit up here all the time and try to tell you about whether you're sinning or not. You know whether you're sinning or not. Let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. Yes, we may try to tell ourselves that we're good people. Yes, we may try to tell ourselves that what we're doing is okay and all of those other things. But if we really are honest with ourselves, we know whether what we're doing is good or bad. We also know that there's decisions that we get to make. I know that I get to wake up every morning and make a decision whether I'm going to get my gym clothes and go to the gym, right? I know every morning I get to wake up and decide, am I going to roll out of bed and the very first thing I'm going to do before my feet hit the floor is praise God, right? I get that choice. Or is the first thing I'm going to do is slip over and grab that phone off the side, pick it up and start looking at TikTok videos to send to Corey. I know that's going to happen, right? I get to choose what that's going to be. It's not just Corey, by the way, sorry. I send them to a lot of different people, but we get that choice. There are times when we have to make a decision between two good things, right? That happens in life. Today you may be here and you might have two good things and you're trying to decide what is the right decision to make. And you're going through your mind and you're thinking through all of these things and you're trying to decide which way is to go. That can be a bit difficult. I understand that. It's hard to make a decision. It's easy to make a decision when you have a good and a bad. When you have the good side and the bad side on your shoulders speaking to you, it's easy to make that decision because you know which side is good and which side is bad. The difficult decisions come when both sides are good. Or bad. Yes, or bad. The problem is not in decision making, though. See, we often pour all of our energy and effort into this decision-making process and that I'm going to make this decision, I'm going to make a better choice, I'm going to do all of these things, and then I'm going to move on. No, the problem is that we pour all of our energy and effort into that instead of what happens after we make that decision. Because what happens is that if you make a good decision, great, then your life is going to continue going down the path, and maybe it's a good path, and maybe everything's going all right. But what happens if you made a bad choice? What happens? What do we do with that? Which brings me to today's message on consistency. See, no one is perfect. No one is perfect. I'm sorry, Chad. Even you are not perfect, okay? Chad doesn't think he's perfect. But Chaz isn't here, so I have to go with Chaz and Chad. They have the same first two letters. No, I'm kidding. But the truth of the matter is that no one's perfect. Not even your pastor. And I will say I'm the first not to be perfect, actually, but we're going to make bad choices. You're going to fall. You're going to slip. You're going to stumble. You're going to have an accident. You're going to do something. You're going to gossip. You're going to lie. You're going to do something that you're going to eat an M&M when you tried to eat an apple. It happens to me all the time. You're going to eat a donut when you're supposed to be eating fruit, right? You're going to lay in bed instead of going to the gym. You're going to do all the, whatever it is that you're fighting with, this is going to happen. We're not perfect. We live in an imperfect world. We live in a fallen world. It is what we do after we make that decision that matters most. Do you pick yourself up off the floor and start making good choices again? Or do you live in the bad choices that you made previous? See, the problem is that too many Christians today go out with the idea that they're going to do good, that they're going to make Jesus proud, that they're going to make God proud, they're going to make all of these right choices, and then as soon as the devil attacks, as soon as they make the bad choice, it's like, well, I guess the day's blown, I might as well forget it, right? I'm just going to continue doing whatever I'm going to do, and things get added on to each other, they build up, and pretty soon consistency and doing bad is where we're at instead of consistently trying to do good. The choice is left to you and I. So today, let's learn how to be consistent and how to make the right choice over and over again. And I love this story. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Now, if you're a scholar of Scripture at all, you know that Daniel chapter 6 is going to be talking about Daniel in the lion's den, right? This is a great Old Testament story that you probably all, if you've been in any Sunday school class at all, you've probably heard this several times. But I want to focus on something other than Daniel in the lion's den. I want to focus on Daniel and his decisions leading up to the lion's den. So if you turn with me again, Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. To be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Let's pause there just for a moment to explain what's going on. What Darius is doing is he is putting together a government, if you will. He is putting together governors over areas of the city and areas of the region where he's at. Now, each one of them is going to manage a certain area, a certain neighborhood, if you will. Now, what they are saying to Darius is that, what King Darius is saying is Daniel is one of these. Daniel is a Jewish believer. By the way, King Darius is not. This was a very, this was during a time when Israel was being, has already been overrun. And so they are basically in all the different places. And we find Daniel living within an area or living within a kingdom that's not his own. But Daniel does something. Daniel is being noticed, obviously. Daniel was one of these to whom the satrap should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Verse 3 says, then Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps because of excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now let's pause there for a moment. This is, again, Daniel is an outsider. Daniel is not someone who the rest of the people trusted. But the king did. Why? Because Daniel was making right choices over and over and over again. Daniel is being given the opportunity to make the right choice. And he is making the right choices. So much so that he is distinguished above all the other high officials. Daniel is being known for the decisions he made. And so therefore, they're giving him, or the king is planning on making him, the head governor over the whole kingdom. Of course, what happens when that happens to the people? Someone's always jealous, right? Someone's always going to be jealous. And so what happens is that then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment again and explain what's happening here. So they're jealous, they're mad, they want to come against Daniel because they don't like that this outsider is taking, by the way, he's a Jew, they don't want this Jew taking over this area, they don't want this Israelite taking over. They don't want any of these people, and so they're mad at him. And so the high officials and satraps sought to find a ground of complaint against Daniel. What are they trying to do? They're waiting for him to slip up. They're waiting for him to make a mistake. They're waiting for him to stumble, if you will, to trip, to fall, to do all of these things. Yet they could find no ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. Pause there for a moment. They found no fault with Daniel in regard to the kingdom. Does that mean Daniel was a perfect person? No, there's only been one perfect person on this earth, and that's Jesus Christ. Daniel was not perfect. Daniel made mistakes. Daniel, if you read the book of Daniel, you'll find that Daniel didn't always make the right choices. He was a good person. He was a love. I love Daniel. I have spent the very first, the first 6 months of my Christian life, I studied Daniel. Because I just found something in Daniel that I absolutely loved, and I spent all this time with him. But Daniel was not perfect. But yet, they could not find fault in him. Why could they not find fault in him? Because he was making the right choices. He was consistently doing good. He was consistently making the right choices. Even in the face of temptation, even in the face of power, even in the face of, hey, look, I'm better than all the rest of you. Daniel still made the right choice, and there was no error to find. But let's move on. So then verse 5 says, then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Ah, now there is the rub. We find that Daniel's not only a good person doing the right thing, but we also then find that Daniel is a follower of God. And so therefore, Daniel, they know that the only way that they can trap Daniel is to have it in connection with his God. Why? Now listen, this is important. If someone who is your enemy today decides to trap you, can they trap you in your ways with your God today? The sad answer to that question for many of us is no. Our faith is not strong enough. We don't read the Bible enough. We don't pray enough. And there's many ways that we would fail in this. But because Daniel was such a faithful man, they knew that they could catch him in this way. They could catch him in doing this. Daniel was consistent in doing good. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll continue on. Father, we thank you for this most wonderful and beautiful day that you've given to us, a day that we can come and worship you. Lord, we ask you that you just help us to serve you. We ask you that you help us to be consistent in our faith in you, Father. Lord Jesus, we're not perfect and we're going to fail. In fact, you knew that and sent us your Son, your only Son. And Jesus, you came to this earth for us because you knew that we could not achieve what we needed here on this earth without the grace that you provide for us. But Father, we ask you, Lord, help us to make that decision to be consistent in doing good. Help us to understand how our decisions matter and how we can be good in those decision-making process, Father. Help us to learn to be consistent like you were, like Daniel was, like others of Scripture were, Father. Help us to walk in that way and to serve you. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you just come and open our minds, open our ears, open our senses so that we can hear what you would say to us through these Scriptures that you're speaking to us through today. Help us to follow you. And Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they truly be your words, Father, as we glorify you and honor you and praise you in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel was consistent in doing good. You know, it takes 7 times to make a habit. Now, I would like to argue with the person that came up with this stat, because you know what? I've gone to the gym 7 times, and I still don't have a habit of going to the gym. Don't ask me about M&Ms now, but the going to the gym is a good problem, right? Or no, it's not a good problem. It is a problem. 7 times before, no, it is true. It takes 7 times. If you're consistently doing something 7 times in a row, you're most likely going to form a habit. It is why today, listen, one of the things that I encourage the leadership team of our church to do all the time is that when you see a new visitor coming in, 7 different people have to go and say hello. I'm giving you this knowledge and this understanding so that you can all be included in this. When someone comes in, we're rushing, oh, look, there's a new person, let's all attack them, right?
That's where the M&Ms.
Yeah, right. But introducing yourself. What are we known as? Are we a church that's known as being polite and friendly and happy and encouraging? If we are, then great. We should do that. You should experience that. Or are we not? It takes 7 times. 7 times to form a habit. Now listen, if you're at home and you're thinking, listen, how many times, may I use you as an example, Pat?
Yes.
Okay. Pat and I have this conversation. Pat's a trucker, and so he has a beautiful handle of the English language that's both the English language and what we also call the truckies language, right? But I encourage him. I encourage anyone. It's not just Pat, by the way. But I encourage myself. Listen, if you are stumbling over certain words that you're having a trouble always saying that you shouldn't say, then may I encourage you to replace it with something else and continue to replace it with something else. Now listen, some people will say, oh, that's funny. Like, you know, I love, anyone ever watch the Christmas Story where the dad had this language and he goes down. I wish we had time. I'd have Jay come up and he could do the whole entire. He's good at that. He knows that entire scene from beginning to end. But what's the little boy's name? Ralphie. Ralphie goes, fudge! Only it wasn't fudge that he said after. Well, that was when the whole tire incident, right? Listen, if you have a habit, if you have something that you're doing wrong, switch it out. Change it out. If you're always mean to someone because you don't like them, try being nice to them for once. Smile. Shake their hand. Say hello. Here's the best thing. If you have someone in your life that you're aggravated and you're angry with and that you're at odds with, pray for them. And I'm not saying, dear Lord, smite them down with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them strike you down from heaven. You deserve it. You're such a terrible person. No, not that. That's not the kind of praying I'm talking about, right? The kind of praying I'm asking about is, Lord, bless them. Take 7 times. Who am I talking about? Wait. Oh. Wow. Christy, that's pretty bad. Your son just threw you under the bus, ran it over, and then backed it up and did it again, right? Yeah. See, the problem of it is that we don't form a habit, and so when we mess up again, what happens? It derails us. It derails our doing good. How many times, just last week we talked about, actually, you'll see this on Facebook this week. Do you know that 85, I didn't say this last week, I'm going to say this. It's my future post that you'll see this week.
Wow. Is that planning ahead?
Yes, I am planning ahead. Do you know that 85% of New Year's resolutions fail by January 31st? 85%. Now, you know what, and by January 31st is the date that 85% of, you know what also is January 31st? It's National Hot Chocolate Day. It's National Hot Chocolate Day. It's January 31st. So do you think it's coincidence that 85% of New Year's resolutions end by January 31st? I think not, but that's a different story. But no, listen, honestly, why do 85% of resolutions end by January 31st? In fact, when I dove into that number, 85%, out of that 85%, 70% of New Year's resolutions end after the first week. Why? Because what's a natural resolution? A natural resolution is I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to do all of this. And then you're right in the middle of, right, you're in that post-holiday slumber, and you wake up and you're like, I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to any gym. Are you kidding me? No way. Snooze. 2 hours later. It takes 7 times to form a habit, so one mistake shouldn't derail you. Listen, that's the problem. We get derailed because we make one mistake. Consistency is what you do after you fail and not... Listen, we're going to fail. That's the only thing I could say. I wish I could sit here and tell you that I want you to be perfect. I always want you to make the right choices, and that's true, I do. But the truth of the matter is we are human, we live in a fallen world, we live in a sinful world, and so that sin will cause you're going to fail. Does that mean that you can't overcome that? No, you can. The way that you overcome that is by picking yourself up off the ground when you fail and getting up and putting your mind to the effort to go forward and continue doing it, to form a habit. Are you consistent in doing good, or is it up and down? Paul says in Romans 7, I love Paul's writing in Romans 7. If you ever, I'm not going to show it up on the board, but if you ever have read Paul in Romans chapter 7, he says, I do what I don't want to do, even though I wish I would do good. Paul is saying, I stumble and I fall, even though I have in the best intentions to do something right, I don't. The problem of it is that we all are living in intentions instead of actual action. And Paul's understanding that. Paul's saying, I got to move forward. I got to continue doing this. And the only way I can move forward is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Good intentions. Listen, my wife and I had this conversation not too long ago. She goes, I had good intentions to do it. There's a saying, I can't remember the saying right now. Yes. And I used to tell her all the time, I'm like, it's great that you had good intentions. It's even better when you actually follow through with it.
And then she said, go to the
show. Yeah. Wow, she's not even here, and I still hear her voice. Wait a minute. Wow. But the truth of the matter is that good intentions mean, if you have in mind that, if you have in mind a good thought for someone, right? Do they know it? Not unless you tell them. A habit is formed when you continue doing that. All right, let's move on. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed. So what has happened? Let me pause there for a moment because we skipped over this. The other officials have decided that they're going to trap Daniel. How they're going to trap Daniel is they went to King Darius and they tell King Darius, listen, there should be no other king but you, King Darius. There should be no one else that gets praise and worship and all of these things but you. King Darius is like, yeah, you're right. I should receive all the praise. I should receive all the prayer. And so he sets in law that anyone who serves or worships another king other than King Darius will be thrown into a lion's den. When Daniel knew that this document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber up open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed and gave thanks to God as he had done previously. Now let me pause there for a moment. Daniel got up, he went to the window, opened up the window and said, I'll show you. It was a religious way of giving everyone the middle finger. I'm kidding. But Daniel did. He's like, I don't care what you say. I don't care the law that you signed. I don't care anything you did. Look what Daniel did. Daniel knew that this meant death. Daniel knew that this meant he was going to be thrown into a lion's den. With all intent purposes, that meant you would die. But Daniel did not care. He was so consistent in his prayer life. He was so consistent in his faith. What did he do? He went up, he opened the windows and said, yeah, see how much I care. Not only am I going to continue praying, I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to stand here in front where everyone can see me and I'm going to pray. Where is our faith? Where is our faith like Daniel's? That's why I want to ask a question. If you ever go to work and someone says, are you a Christian? Yeah, I am. And then all of a sudden you take your Bible and you slide it off to the side, right? Or the truth of the matter is too often we don't have the faith, the boldness, the strength like Daniel had. Daniel knew that he was going to be thrown into a lion's den for what he was doing, and yet he still did it. He still prayed. Not once, not twice, but three times a day in front of an open window so everyone could see him. And I would say that he was there just making a point, right? And that he did it on purpose. But the scripture then throws in something that totally blows out all the water. As he had done previously. So Daniel had not only done that day, but he had been doing this over and over and over again, repeatedly. The word consistency. He was consistent in doing this. It was a habit. And so therefore, what happened when this declaration came forward, Daniel didn't have to make a choice. Daniel didn't have to say, oh, what choice should I make? Should I follow King Darius or should I follow the true king, God? No, Daniel was so consistent in doing good that when the day came that he had to choose, there was no choice he had to make. He immediately did right. The problem is for us is that we sometimes dabble in doing good and we sometimes dabble in doing bad. There's no consistency. And so when a decision comes that we have to put our faith on the line or our faith is being tested in some way, we generally fail because we have no consistency in doing good. Daniel did good always. And so the consistent thing was for Daniel to keep going and keep doing what he did. What happens next is verse 11 says, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making a petition and plea before his God. Verse 12 says, then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Verse 13, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Isn't that just like Satan? Isn't that just like the devil? Isn't that just like our people that may be against us to do that? They're waiting in the woods. They're waiting in the weeds, so to speak, to catch you in doing bad. So that they can go before their so-called king and bring you up to them. But Daniel was consistent in doing good. He didn't care about those things. What happened after that? He's practicing to be a singer like Corey. So what happens is that Daniel... The king, by the way, I'm skipping a lot of verses just to save some time here. But what happens is the king, because he signed this injunction, has to throw Daniel into the lion's den. He doesn't have a choice. He had to throw Daniel because Daniel broke the law. There was no thing. There's nothing that the king could have done. And so he knew that he had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. And he does. Even though the king loves Daniel, the king likes Daniel. The king is impressed by Daniel because of his decision making, but yet he throws him in. Now here's something, I'm going to jump ahead again. We're not so concerned about the lion's den, but I do want to give you a little brief shot of the end of the story. Verse 23, it says, "Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God." Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And the lions came over to get a little petting. They wanted a little scratch underneath their head. That's it. They didn't eat Daniel. They didn't attack Daniel. Nothing. Jesus was the fourth man in the fire, but he was also the other man in the lion's den with Daniel. Daniel had no harm to him because he had trusted his God. See, the question is that you can be consistent too with God's help. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Do you understand that? The most successful people, the people that have a body style a little bit better than I do, they do something that I only do occasionally, and that's go to the gym. They do it constantly. The people who are, if you look at someone, whatever you're looking at in terms of success, the reason why they are success is because they are constantly doing what they are supposed to do. They're constantly doing what we would only do occasionally. Success is not making one decision and making one right decision. Success is making a string of right decisions over and over and over again, which means that when you make a wrong decision and you fail, you get up and you make the right decision again. It's okay to fail. Listen, there's nothing wrong. I had a wonderful business leader that told me this one day. He's like, "Jason, I don't care if you fail. I just want you to try." God is no different than that. You know, I see God in that way. God's like, "Listen, I want you to just continue to try. Are you going to be perfect? No. But if you pick yourself up when you fall and you're consistently continue to do it." The trajectory in the business world, you know, I used to laugh all the time because we had literally, when I was in the business world, our business was 85% of our business was done between the months of October and December. Now, I don't know how many of you guys know about business world, but if you could think about 85% of your business being done in a 3-month period of time, that's huge. And so when we would look at the line, you know, we'd go through January, February, March, April, May, June, and sales would be really low, and we're like, "Oh boy." It was very easy often for me to think, "I'm going to have to start laying people off because we're not going to do it, right? It's not going to happen. We're not going to make our budget. We're not going to do all of these things." And then come October, November, December, and it would go like this, right? A good business line is not necessarily a straight line that goes like this. A good business line is often like this, ups and downs. But guess what? What's happening is that it's constantly moving forward. It's constantly moving up. You're going to be successful. You're going to have some downfalls. But as long as the trajectory is going up, you're doing good. And as long as you consistently move forward in that way, it's okay. I love Daniel's response. He knows the law that was signed. He knew all of this, and he's like, "I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to pray anyway. Even though it means I'm going to be thrown into the lion's den, I'm going to pray anyway." Daniel was successful because he constantly did what he was supposed to do. He constantly chose to pray. See, I oftentimes I hear someone go, "It's so hard for me to just pray before I go to bed at night." Well, just do it. Just constantly do it. Even if it, listen, there's sometimes that I fall asleep or my wife falls asleep during our prayers at night. Usually it's my wife, but she's not here, so I can't say that. But we're praying at night and we're saying our prayers and all of these things. And then you know, it's just, as long as it's not always beautiful prayer. Sometimes we're just like so tired. I remember Friday night after after everything happened, I was laying in bed and I'm thanking the Lord, and I'm in the middle, and I think, man, this is going to be a great prayer. The Lord has just saved my daughter, done all of these things. I'm so excited about this. This is going to be a great prayer time between me and God, me just praising Him, doing all these things. I lay down on the bed and I go, Lord, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. And you know, yeah, God bless everyone. You know what? God's okay with that. Because the next morning you wake up and you continue moving forward. The next morning you wake up, you continue doing these. It's all about the process. Listen, this is a thing that I use this phrase all the time in the business world, and my employees hated this. And I used to tell them all the time, it's not about anything else other than the process. It's about the process. How are you doing? Are there ups and downs? It's okay that there are ups and downs, as long as you're devoted to the process. See, being consistent means that you have to love the action. I have to love going to the gym, even though I don't really love it. I have to find ways to make. See, I want to like that. I want to like that process. I want to be in the right shape. I want to do all of those things. But in order to do that, I have to be in love with the process and not the action, not the goal. Oftentimes, we get so asphyxiated on the goal. We get so asphyxiated on this that we forget that there's a whole step. There's a whole devotion. There's a whole process. Too oftentimes, Christians get so fixed on their salvation in heaven that they forget that they're living with Christ every single day here on this earth. We get so asphyxiated with, oh, one day I'm going to be eternity with heaven. Is that true? Yes, it is. But guess what? Every single day here on this earth, you get to walk with Him, which means you get to have a relation. You get to have a relationship with God right here, right now. It's about the process. Don't get so stuck on the final days. Get fixated, focused on today. What it comes down to is that your devotion has to be greater than your desire. Do you desire to do good? Most of us in this room would say yes. Do you desire to treat people well? Most of the people in this room would say yes. What happens, though, is that our desires change. If you're devoted, listen, if you only desire your husband or your wife and they do something wrong, what's going to happen? Too many relationships end because it was based on desire and not devotion. Your wife, your husband's going to say something that you don't like. They're going to wake up with stinky breath. They're going to wake up with their hair all different places. They're going to wake up. I'm now on a CPAP machine for all of those that want to know. And so I tease my wife. I put on the CPAP machine. I'm like, don't I look sexy? Right? So then, a few days later, what happened is the doctor calls and he's like, you need a chin strap too. So I get this chin strap now. So I have this whole headband that goes on. Now I have this nose piece. And I'm like, do I turn you on, honey? Yeah, right. She's like, the silence is good. Yes. But you know what? I never worry about my wife leaving just because I have to wear a CPAP machine. You know why? Because she's devoted. She's a loving, devoted wife. Which I absolutely love, and I'm a loving, devoted husband to her. Will she make mistakes? Yes. Will I make mistakes? Absolutely. You don't have enough paper in the world for me to fill out all the mistakes I've made in my marriage. But you know what? It's about devotion. It's not about desire. It's what keeps a husband and wife together years after years. Listen, I hate to tell you this, Jay, but you're not as cute as what you were when you and Doreen were first married, okay? Yes. If Doreen only married Jay based on the desire of the way he looks when they first got married, today would be a different story. That doesn't mean that we can't be better versions of ourselves as we get older. Listen, I want to age gracefully. I want to be the best. My wife and I say this all the time. We want to be in the best shape that we've ever been as we're turning into our 50s, as we get later on in our 50s and our 60s and our 70s.
You said that in your 30s and
then
in your
40s. Yes, you're right. Let me share a real quick story, and it's going to be a personal story. You know, a few years ago, the church wasn't turning out the way that I wanted it to go. Things weren't working out. What I had in my mind, this beautiful picture of the way I wanted things to work, wasn't happening. And I wanted to quit. I did. I want to be completely honest with you. I had visions in my head that I was done. I was walking away. I'm quitting. And it wasn't working. I wasn't happy. There was failures. There was things going on over and over and over again. If you look, just nothing was working right. And I was crying out to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, why? Just let me walk. Please release me from this. Let me just walk away. And I heard something. I heard him say this word that I had said a whole bunch of times. Are you in love with the process, or are you in love with the goal? And I thought to myself, that's just my mind telling me this, right? I'm just remembering back. And then what he said to me was, and something that I'll never forget, I just still remember these words very clearly, and one of the things that he said to me was that, are you devoted, or are you just desiring a future goal in mind? I'd never had my devotion questioned before, never in my whole entire life. One of the things that I pride myself on is that I try to be as consistent as possible. I had learned that consistency was a very important thing. There was a wonderful book that says Why Consistency Matters that came out as a business book, but it's a wonderful thing, and if you're in the business world, I encourage you to read it. But it is something that I read many, many years ago. It's so important to me that I said, listen, whatever I do in my life, I'm going to be consistent. Now, maybe consistently eating M&Ms or maybe consistently doing something else, right? I had to be consistent. That's the one thing that I pride myself on. But I found myself in the midst of this going, I don't want to be consistent anymore. I want to quit. And then the Lord brought me to Daniel. And he said, Daniel didn't quit when he was faced with being thrown into the lion's den. The song that we just sang, the fourth man in the fire, right? Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego didn't quit when they were thrown into the fire. Jesus didn't quit even though he prayed tears of blood that he didn't want to go forward with us. He didn't quit. I challenge you that every story you read in Scripture will start with someone being consistent and doing what they're asked to do. It may not be what they wanted to do. It may not be that vision or that beautiful picture of where they wanted to be, but they were consistent. They are consistent in serving God and following Him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. My question for you tonight, my question for you today, it feels like night for me, but my question for you today is this. Do you love the devotion to God, or do you love what He gives to you? See, if you just love what God gives you, eventually you'll find something else in this earth to replace it. Your desire will change. Your desire will be to something else. You'll go back to what you've always done. You'll go back to being someone else. And so therefore, that will go away. But if your devotion is to God, then even if you're faced with the threat of being thrown into a lion's den, you'll still go forward. See, consistency and faith is more about the everyday relationship than it is about the end. See, if you're going to be consistent in your faith today, what it's going to take is when you don't feel like getting up and praying, you get up and pray. If you're going to be consistent in your faith, when you feel like I can't take another step, you take another step. If you're going to be consistent in anything that the Lord calls you to do, guess what? There's going to be times when you go through something that you don't like. You're going to go through trouble. You're going to go through difficult. You're going to go through pain. You're going to go through suffering. But you got to keep moving forward. I'll use my daughter as a quick example because she's just, to me, she epitomizes this story. At home, giving birth, without any medication, without any pain medicine, any of these things. She's faced with giving birth to a baby that's sideways. She has to make a choice. She either goes to the hospital, has a C-section, the baby's harmed in some way. There's some conversation about how the baby was going to come out and all those things. She said, no, I'll do it. And she did. Knowing the consequences of the actions that it was going to take, it wasn't going to be healthy. It wasn't going to be wasn't going to be healthy for her. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be painful. And she did it. See, too often we look for a way out of the problems in life because we want the easiest route instead of the consistent route. We want the roses. We want the golden streets. We want all of these things now instead of the consistency of what it takes to get there. As a Christian, as a business person, as someone who just lives in life today, if you're not consistent, then what are you? Scripture says that when the wind comes and the waves hit, if you're not built on the stone, if you're not founded in Jesus Christ, then what's going to happen? The waves are going to beat on you, the wind's going to blow, and you're going to be cast off somewhere else. Consistency and faith is about making the everyday decision to be in relationship with Jesus Christ today. Even when things aren't going well, even when things aren't right, we still make that choice. The easiest thing you could do is give up. The easiest thing I could have done was give up. But consistency in my faith causes us to continue moving forward. Consistency in your faith causes you to move forward. Will you stand with me, please? Consistency means that we're going to make that right decision. We're going to continue. We're going to get up off the ground. Listen, you're going to be, life is going to beat you down. I'm sorry if you're here as a Christian and you think that life should just be roses and beautiful pictures and everything should be all right. Guess what? It's not going to be that way. At some point, life is going to beat you down. What you do with your faith after you've been beaten down is what's going to cause you to either be consistent or not in your faith. And that's a choice that you have to make. So may I encourage you today, make a choice to be consistent. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're suffering through, do what is right, even when others aren't doing it. Make that right choice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you in this place. You're such a wonderful God, and you love us so much. You love us so much, even though we constantly, consistently fail you. But Lord, I pray today that we could learn from Daniel. We could learn from you, Jesus. We could learn from all of the scripture that we read that says one thing that we know for sure is that people were consistent. So even when we fail, your grace is there sufficient enough for me to lift me up out of the murky waters, to lift me up out of that mud, to wash me off, and to help me on the path to righteousness, to make that right step. Father, help us in this time to be consistent in our faith. Father, we need Christians today that says, I'm not going to be pulled away, that I'm going to just continue doing what God has called me to do, even though the waves are coming, even though the wind is blowing, even though all these things are happening. Lord, let us be consistent in our faith today. Lord Jesus, we love you. We ask you to forgive us for failing you, for being consistent in everything else but you. Help us today, Father, to do those things that you call us to do, to be consistent in our faith in you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's sing this worship song together.
I trust in God, my Savior, Lord. Who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. Who will never fail. Will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the Lord, who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. I sought the Lord any hurt, any answer. I sought the Lord. Any hurt, any answer. I sought the Lord. Any hurt, any answer. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord. Any hurt, any answer. I sought the Lord. Any hurt, any answer. I sought the Lord. Any hurt, any answer. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
I trust in God. Do you? Listen, I want you to know that I'm preaching to myself through this sermon as much as I am saying anything to any of you. Because I have failed Him over and over and over and over again. Yet He loves me and He never fails me. He's there to pick me up and say, let's go, Jason. Let's take another step forward. Let's keep moving. Let's keep making that decision. It starts with just trusting Him, allowing Him to work in your hearts, to make it a choice to say, listen, I'm going to do what is right for Him. I'm going to make that choice. I'm going to repent of my sins. It's as easy as what Romans 10 verse 9 says, that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and I repent of my sins, He will come into your life. Does that mean that you immediately become perfect? No, it doesn't. But what that means is that you have a God who's going to be walking beside you, with you, through every step. And when you fail, He's there to say, here's my hand. Just grab it and let me pick you up so we can consistently making the right step moving forward. Do you trust in Him? Do you trust Him enough to say, I failed you again, Lord, but again, pick me up. Love me. Help me to walk with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your honor. We thank you for your praise. We thank you for all of these things that we give to you. But we most importantly, Lord, thank you for the grace of God that has been poured out on our lives so that when we do fail, you will pick us up. You will hold us. And you will help us on that path to move forward if we just make that decision to reach out our hand and say, here I am. Let me grab a hold of your hand. Lord, help us to be consistent in loving you. Help us to be consistent in following you. Help us to be consistent in making the right choice today so that our life can be known as a life lived with you. Help us today to go forth from this place, Lord Jesus, to do your will. To do the things that you have said. Some of us, Father, need to go out into this world and we need to make a commitment to take that step again, to make that right step. Some of us need to take a step back and say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment to being consistent in reading my scripture. I'm going to be consistent in praying. I'm going to be consistent in worshiping you. I'm going to be consistent in forgiving others. I'm going to be consistent in walking in the ways that you have asked me to walk. Help us to do those things today, Father, as we leave this place, as we go out into our neighborhoods, our families, and all of the places that we'll go. Let us be consistent in taking you wherever we go, serving you. And when bad times come, let us fling open the windows, get down on our knees, and show the world what it means to be consistent in living a faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to do that today, Lord. Help us to serve you. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again next week. If you have any prayer requests, please feel free to come forward. We'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you.